There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
The big World Energy Congress on up in the capital in Abu Dhabi, and debut for Saudi Arabia's Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman at the conference. And we cross now live to Etna Traynor, seasoned OPEC watcher. Good morning to you, Etna.
Good morning, Malcolm. Good to talk to you.
First of all, highlights of yesterday, please.
The highlights of yesterday, without a doubt, as you said, the new Saudi oil minister, the new Saudi energy minister, Prince Abdulaziz. And really, he did steal the show, so to speak. It was a packed house, without a doubt. He had a very intense one-on-one, very relaxed interview with the head of the commodity research unit from RBC Capital Markets, Helly McCroft. And the one thing I think he talked about, he has his own wit and wisdom. He has a particular style. But he also talked about his optimism for the market and his optimism particularly for the global economy and the trade talks, dismissing what he said, you know, they're not trade wars, not yet anyway. So we need to stay, I think, with the sentiment of there are trade talks going on, and really suggesting, I think, that there will be rational thinking will prevail among the two major superpowers, China and America.
Did he sort of sketch a future as he sees it for the trade wars? When are we going to get back to normal? Is it something that he sees as imminent?
I think his whole take on that was that these talks have to go on. And, you know, he certainly, from his point of view, believed that the commitment would be there and that they actually would have to be worked out. He did couch that, as he said, in the fact that he is an optimistic person. But he didn't go into great detail about it. You know, he really sort of, he left that just sort of hanging at that. But again, I suppose sending a bit of a message to the two powers, if anybody was listening, that... you know, this has to be resolved for the greater good of the world.
What was said at Congress about the future of the oil price, the future of production and export levels?
The prince was very, very careful to mention that he wasn't here to overshadow or to take the highlight from the Joint Ministerial Monitoring Committee meeting that OPEC is holding on Thursday. He was very clear about that. He said, and we're hearing from the analysts who were there, I think, tremendous support for him and tremendous support for that longevity that this succession almost in Saudi Arabian oil interests will deliver. You know, he is a seasoned man there. He's been around. He knows it very much. And also he talked very much about his ability to deliver consensus. If you listen to some of his speech, he really talked about the fact that he has learned a sense of kind of diplomacy and consensus building with all his years in OPEC. And he has been there many, many years with the former minister, Mr. Al-Naimi, and worked with him as deputy minister, and of course also with Mr. Al-Fala. So I think this will be good news for the smaller producers at OPEC, because he really made a point of saying every voice will count, and you know he will listen and take everybody's viewpoint. So that's encouraging too.
Well, Prince Abdulaziz obviously is a seasoned oil and energy professional. He's only been in the job, what, 2 or 3 days as well. So the general sort of view was that he had a successful debut and that he's welcome to the industry.
He's certainly welcome to the industry, and I think welcome to the market. We're looking at an oil price now today above 62 for Brent crude and WTI 58 and above. So the market responded well for this. And yeah, while he's only a few days, you know, in the job, he certainly has been, when you look back, he's been years in the job. So if you looked at a corporation, I suppose, and succession planning, the number two that had worked so diligently over all of these years, you know, gets the number one spot. And indeed, he had been tipped for it many times before. Not many times, but when there aren't too many times you get an opportunity like this in Saudi Arabia. But when Mr. Al-Naimi retired, everybody at one point thought that the prince was going to get that job. So he's in place, and I think the response is very, very positive. He did take time to talk to the media, and we'll hear a lot more about what he was talking about. And, of course, we're going to see more of him, because he will be at the OPEC meeting Thursday evening, I hope. Well, they hope to. But he's around, and he's going to make himself available, and I think he'll need to, you know, get back and get to work, because he has a lot of work to be done for him, and he knows that too, but he's taking over a job he knows very well.
Etna, of course, OPEC and oil was a big focus yesterday, but so was the transition towards a non-hydrocarbon economy. Some of the buzzwords that I've picked up on from this event, one of them is decarbonisation. It's one of the themes of the event. Another one is transition from a hydrocarbon-based energy world to a renewable-based energy world. What sense did you get? I mean, cynics would say this is just greenwashing and paying lip service to renewable energy. Others would say, no, this is real and tangible and something genuine is happening. What sense did you get?
I certainly got a great sense of commitment, and I think we heard that from the leaders of the energy sector here in Abu Dhabi. The conference opened, obviously, with great fanfare, as it's something we do very well here in the United Arab Emirates, and the energy minister, Suhail Al-Mazrui, certainly spoke very, very strongly and put his point across of their absolute commitment, you know, to a cleaner energy future here for the United Arab Emirates. And the fact that they put a lot of money in, they've put a lot of investment in, and really showcasing this country as a country that has embraced all forms of energy. And it's not just about renewables. It's also about biodiversity. It's also about nuclear. It's about bringing everything together. And that was the entire gist of his speech. Then the CEO of ADNOC, of course, Dr. Sultan, very much again added his part to it, but also he made it very clear that this investment has to run in parallels, and it has to run with a great commitment as well to the oil and gas industry and the petrochemical industry. But nothing has been left out here, and I think that was a very strong message. I had a panel on deep decarbonization, not just decarbonization, you know, going for the big one. But and I had the executive vice president from EDF, the French utilities company. I had somebody from carbon capture and storage. The CEO of OMV, Dr. Selle, was on my panel. Some very interesting people. And again, it was, I think, that impatience in many ways about the fact that the industry wants to do more. They're doing their best to do more. They're not encouraged with the fact that emissions are not coming down. And I think there is a great sense of urgency, but it really looks like we have to up the game. And at one point I said to them, is it all about politics and money, something we might associate with big oil? But actually there was an agreement that it was politics and money that is holding up the transition to a greener, cleaner future.
Edna, how much was talked about renewables at the conference, or how much is going to be?
I mean, I think it was in every panel. Nothing escaped it. Yeah. And my two panels that I did were very much renewables. We talked about mobility and transportation. And one of the highlights you'll see when you come up, Richard, here too, will be, of course, a model of the Hyperloop. It's quite a beautiful capsule, so to speak, that's going to...
In fact, you had one of the guys from Hyperloop on your panel. I was watching it last night.
Yes. And Harj on the panel, of course, the gentleman who runs it here, is Hyperloop is the future. It's not going to happen next week, but, you know, they're putting a lot of attention and a lot of work into it. And it's a very impressive capsule. You'll see that yourself. I'm sure you'll have to come and relapse. And it's a very UAE-style capsule. I think there will be many economy class capsules around the world, but maybe ours won't be the first one.
Not for you, Edna, no doubt. Edna Traynor, thanks very much indeed. Seasoned OPEC watcher.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.